May it please the court, my name is Gail Stroman and I represent the Secretary for the Department of Veterans Affairs. With me at council table is Ed Cassidy, Deputy Assistant General Counsel for the Department. The Secretary would assert that contrary to appellant's definition or assertion of what the term cash payment means for purposes of 20.609H1, that in fact Snyder versus Nicholson did Snyder 3 for our purposes, did in fact find the cash payment was that VA will calculate attorney's fees on the amount that is to be paid to the veteran after all statutorily mandated deductions have been made. And that is what happened here. In Snyder, the court determined that there was a gap between 38 U.S.C. Section 5313, governing deductions for incarcerated for felons, and 38 U.S.C. Section 5904, governing statutory deductions for attorney's fees. And the court noted that the gap required the Secretary to determine whether attorney's fees would be calculated before or after other statutory deductions were made following a disability award. In essence, the Secretary was required to create a reasonable regulation that determined the priority of deductions from a veteran's award.
What are the statutorily mandated deductions that you're talking about here?
In this case, the statutorily mandated deductions would be under 5314A that over indebtedness would be offset or deducted from future payments to a veteran from benefits made, payments made. And yeah, the other one would be, of course, the deduction for attorney's fees. The court held in Snyder that the Secretary did just that.
Let me just go back to this, okay. Under 5314.
Mm-hmm.
That statute provides that the Secretary shall, in its mandatory language,
right,
deduct the amount of indebtedness of any person who has been determined to be indebted to the United States by virtue of such person's participation in a benefits program, which this person is, administered by the Secretary from future payments made to such person under any law administered by the Secretary. Now, isn't the attorney fee award, or isn't the award that's given to the veteran in this case, isn't that actually, doesn't our case law say that the award, there are two takers of that award, the veteran and the attorney?
Well, what the case law would say is that the attorney is entitled to a portion of the award, past due benefits award, that is given to the veteran. But
well, doesn't our case law say that the attorney's right to the award flows from statute?
If you're referring to the Snyder 2 case, mm-hmm, that would be correct, Your Honor. But in the Snyder 2 case, as opposed to what happened here and what happened in Snyder 3, is that there was no opposing or contradictory statutory deduction at issue. No one asserts in Snyder 2 that the veteran in that case was incarcerated or had enough indebtedness to the VA or had any other of the bases such as retirement pay at issue that would require some sort of deduction from his award of past due benefits that would conflict with the payment to the attorney. And that is exactly the situation that arose in Snyder 3, where there was this warring deduction. There was the deduction for an incarcerated veteran and the deduction for an attorney. But and what the court in Snyder said was, when you have these, the VA has to resolve what comes first. And we did that. We said that other statutorily mandated deductions come first.
Well, in Snyder 3, you actually had a reduction of the award, though, didn't you, because of a statute, a reduction of the award.
The Secretary's position in this case would be that there isn't any difference, that in this case Congress has determined that there's an offset of future payments.
Well, I understand the offset, but where is the reduction of the award?
In this case, the reduction of the award comes from the Secretary's position, again, in the priority that has been set in Snyder for what deduction comes first. And the Secretary's regulation says that the attorney will be paid from the actual amount that's given to the veteran, which may not actually result in the past due benefits award. So therefore, when you get the past due benefits award, if the Secretary has determined, as it has here and as it did in Snyder, and was found reasonable by this court in Snyder 3, that the deduction for the government's offset indebtedness comes first, then the attorney gets what's actually paid. The cash payment term in...
Well, it seems to me what you're arguing is a matter of priority of payments rather than an actual reduction of the award. Right. To me, there's a distinction there.
There may, you're right, Your Honor. To the extent that there may be a distinction there, the Secretary would assert that it doesn't matter for purposes of what happens here. Under 20.609, H1 little III, it says that the attorney will be paid from past due benefits award when there's a cash payment to the veteran, and that there may not be a cash payment to the veteran. And that for purposes of that provision, and how cash payment in that provision is defined, that's what's at issue. And the Secretary would assert that even if this court were to find that cash payment in past due benefits award sense, as defined in H Arabic numeral 3, was given at the point where the award was first made, that the Secretary has promulgated a reasonable regulation that would reduce that by the offset indebtedness first and then to the attorney.
How would you interpret the term cash payment?
As defined in H1 little 3, mm-hmm. It would be the actual amount paid to the veteran after all statutorily mandated deductions.
Now, how does that square with the term cash?
Your Honor, the Secretary would assert that to the extent that it is actual cash payment. It is actually, in fact, the Secretary would assert the cash payment that was given to the veteran. In this case, there was nothing. But we would assert that the term cash payment is used in 20.609 not only in HIII but in H3, and it's two different identifications of cash payment. And that for purposes of resolving this gap between what deduction comes first, the Secretary has promulgated this regulation which says that the attorney comes second, that they get paid from what is left after the veteran is actually paid a cash payment from the past due benefits award, and that for purposes of the regulation, which is what's at issue here under VA's obligation to withhold and pay, that cash payment means what's actually paid to the veteran after all statutorily mandated deductions.
Well, how do you answer the argument then, the appellant's argument that, or actually not the appellant's, the claimant here, its argument that that the veteran actually did receive a cash payment, that they actually that the veteran actually received benefit from the award,
the Secretary,
a full benefit, in fact.
But the Secretary would assert that for purposes of whether VA is obligated to withhold and pay, and that's what's at issue here, it isn't whether the attorney can get paid from the veteran in another context. It's whether VA is obligated to withhold from a past due benefits award and pay the attorney from that award. That, again, under the definition or the interpretation of cash payment in H1 little I3, that for our purposes, that cash payment there has been defined and reasonably defined by the Secretary as what's actually given to the veteran after all statutorily mandated deductions. So they may have provided a benefit, but the fact is that when they chose to avail themselves of the Secretary's withhold and pay provisions, they also chose to avail themselves of the requirements and restrictions laid out in 5904D and 20.609H1, which govern our withhold and pay obligations. And the Secretary has reasonably determined that for our withhold and pay obligations, a cash payment to the veteran is only the amount that's actually given to the veteran after all statutorily mandated deductions.
Do you believe that there's an independent statutory right of the attorney to a 20% fee?
Outside of VA paying them?
I'm sorry?
Outside of VA paying them, you mean, Your Honor?
No. In the concept of VA deduction, is there does the attorney have an independent right under the statute to the payment of that 20%?
No. The attorney has an independent right, assuming that there's no statutorily mandated deductions that reduce the award, to be paid whatever percentage of whatever the veteran actually gets. But the attorney stands in the shoes of the veteran. The Secretary's position, as laid out to a certain extent in the GC opinion, is that he's like an assignee to the veteran. He only gets a percentage of what the veteran actually gets. And in this case, and under 20.609H1, what the veteran actually got was nothing from the past due benefits award. So he got a percentage of that, it just that there was nothing to give
What's
him.
What's the purpose behind that interpretation?
The purpose behind that interpretation is merely that when you have these competing deductions, it's up, the secretary is charged with making a reasonable regulation to address these competing deductions and make a priority. And the secretary asserted that the government's interest and the taxpayer's interest in recouping indebtedness or offsetting indebtedness stands higher in priority than the deduction or interest behind 5904 for attorney's fees.
And that's a determination made by the secretary?
Correct.
So, counsel, you would agree that the attorney fee statute that provides for the award of attorney fees is a statutorily mandated deduction?
I would say it's a statutory deduction. I'm not sure that in certain circumstances it's mandated, but I'm not sure that flat out it's mandated. But I do think that 5314 is a statutorily mandated deduction.
Okay.
Are there any other questions from the court? The secretary would just like to conclude that in our position that the board did not err in determining that the appellant was not entitled to withholding and payment of attorney's fees by VA because pursuant to 20.609H1, there was no cash payment awarded to the veteran from his past due benefits, and that this court's precedent in Snyder would support that.
In this case, if the veteran had not appealed the decision of the board, which happened to be with the aid of counsel, and had not received an award, would the VA have processed an appeal on their own behalf to determine if he was entitled to certain benefits to then offset against amounts that were due?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, are you saying it would the...
Without the representation in this case and the advancement of an appeal by the appellant, would VA have separately reviewed his claim, reversed their decision, determined that he was entitled to benefits, and then offset it against amounts due?
It would be impossible for the secretary to, we certainly wouldn't on sua sponte initiate an appeal in a given case, but should the veteran have on his own obviously appealed, the VA would have adjudicated it. And in the proclaimant and non-adversarial process that VA has laid out, they are obligated to provide assistance, and it is unknown, had that veteran pursued it on his own, what would have happened. But to the extent that the attorney would assert that he's not interested in representing indebted veterans as a result of this, the secretary would assert again that he's entitled to pursue payment directly from the veteran. He doesn't have to avail himself of the withhold and pay provision that is in the statute and the regulation, and he chose to do so. In doing so, he subjected himself to the restrictions and requirements of that reduction.
And what provision of the regulation, otherwise stated, is subset 3 the only provision of the regulation that you rely on for the proposition that counsel who would otherwise be entitled to 20% cannot have that 20% from an amount awarded by VA to the veteran that they then offset against something else?
20.609H1, yes, all the criteria in there, but particularly little I3 would be the provision that the secretary would rely on, yes.
Good, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Just a few points. The secretary has argued that the VA is entitled to priority in terms of payment of debts, but the veteran can only use his own money to pay his debts. He's not allowed to use the attorney's money. The priority doesn't define whether this was a payment, not a payment, whether the 20% is rightfully Mr. Chisholm's. Snyder 2 defines that, and it says that the 20% is Mr. Chisholm's. The secretary says that cash is only after deductions, but the attorney fee is also a statutory deduction, and so it's simply circular until one actually defines payment. As to whether Mr. Chisholm, as to whether the assignment was limited by the debt, again, the assignment analysis presumes that the veteran doesn't get the benefit of the money. That's the question to be decided. Did he receive a payment here? And he assigned a percentage of the past due benefits. He did have a right to the past due benefits. The secretary asserts that the veteran was not given the money. It's a distinction without a difference to say that he obtained the benefit of this money, was able to pay off his debt, and yet was not given it. He was given it as surely as they had put money in his pocket. and the ability of Mr. Chisholm to go against the veteran does not change the statutory mandates here. There was a performance of an obligation that resulted in past due benefits. 20% of those past due benefits were Mr. Chisholm's by law, and the VA should pay Mr. Chisholm. I have nothing further.
I do have,
yes, Judge.
Another question. I think it's fair to say that the legislative history supports the fact that the purpose of the attorney fee provision is to encourage representation of veterans. But there's a limitation on that, and that is it's balanced against the concept that you don't want to leave a veteran worse off than they were before, in other words, to get the full benefit of the attorney's representation. So isn't the VA's interpretation here really beneficial to the veteran? Because the veteran does get the full benefit of the result of this adjudication, the full benefit meaning an actual reduction in his other obligation to the VA too. So why isn't it consistent with Congress's intent, overall intent, in providing in interpreting these statutes in the best interest of the veteran to say that the VA's interpretation is correct?
Because that statutory interpretation has to be looked at from a viewpoint of all veterans, not just this particular veteran. And if, to the extent that you are right, this particular veteran, Mr. Limoge, benefited to the tune of $5,000 by the VA's policy here.
And if we,
but he's the end. That's it. Future veterans will not benefit. They will not have representation by counsel. This claim was first denied in 1987 and then reopened after Mr. Chisholm got involved in 1995. And the Secretary acknowledged that the Secretary would not sua sponte be reopening these claims. So that's why the policy issue is really, in terms of consistent with legislative intent, there should be encouragement to have people get paid, advocates get paid for their efforts. And the VA doesn't get punished by this, nor does the veteran. It just means it's a longer time for the VA. It takes, instead of getting the $5,000 today, they have to take that $5,000 out of Mr. Limoges' future benefits.
And of course, that means that Mr. Limoges is not paid until his...
That's true, but it is his overpayment, Judge. I mean, so he should pay it. To the extent that the VA is demanding a payment, and they could waive it if they wanted to cut him a break for some reason or decided that his circumstances had changed and that there should be a waiver, they could waive that overpayment if that was their concern. But assuming they want to collect it, they should collect it from his money, not from his lawyer's money.
I just want to clarify, you're referring to 38 Section 5904. Sub D 2 A little I.
Sub D, I'm sorry, Judge, what was the?
Sub D 2 A little I.
Mm-hmm.
Is to be paid to the attorney by the secretary directly from any past due benefits awarded on the basis of the claim, and your position is that it was awarded on the basis of the claim.
Correct. That's correct, Judge.
All right, thank you very much. Anything else? The case will be submitted.
Thank you.
We will come down and greet counsel.
This honorable court is adjourned through the order.